good life.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Don't forget, this Friday we'll be at Knott's Berry Farm. Come on down. Danny Bonaducci will be down there joining us. And bring your kids. It'll be a good time. I think Randy will be down there, and Gina Grad as well. So if you want an autograph from Gina Grad, she's willing to sign. And Randy Wang will sign anything you have, too. So if that's something you're looking forward to, then come on down, bring your paraphernalia, and these guys will sign a win. All right, folks, it is 9 o'clock. That must be news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
News is hard.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
I don't know what's going on. All right. It's hard, but I'm going to try and power through.
Now, you
through.
Are going to sign anything, right?
Tim, nobody wants me to sign anything.
Like, if somebody brought a picture of you down there, you would sign it at Knott's.
I would, I'd probably try and buy it off them. Kind of a narcissist.
All right. What's going on in the news there, Gina Grad?
There's so much going on, Tim.
I imagine.
Yes. First and foremost, the U.S. brewer Anheuser-Busch has agreed to be taken over by Belgium-based InBev. In a move that will create the world's largest beer maker.
It really kills me.
It freaks you out a little bit, I can tell.
Yeah, because that's...
You seem bummed out.
Well, because a Budweiser, to me, is as American as apple pie, baseball... Mm-hmm. Budweiser. It just seems
not
odd.
MGD?
Well, MGD, I believe, was sold to South Africa, right?
Oh. Yeah, about 5 years ago, South African company bought Miller.
Here's the upswing, though. Maybe it'll be a decent beer.
Well, in my opinion, it's a great beer. And every time I see a Budweiser truck, I think to myself, have I consumed an entire truck over my life?
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I did the math.
Like a pallet?
Like the whole truck. And so I know it's going to be the same beer, and I know it's going to be available at the same price. It's going to be in the same. It's just odd that.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, man, you know?
Well, it's a $52 billion takeover, so at least they're getting their money's worth. Jeez. And did you also know that this is the same company that makes Stella Artois? Are you a fan? A fan of Stella?
I've had an Artois in my life before.
Well, this was accepted by Anheuser's board, and the combined company will now be called Anheuser-Busch InBev.
Jesus Christ.
It's a sweet name.
What's left? They sold the Chrysler building. They sold Budweiser.
To someone in Dubai.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Do we still have the tar pits? Any offers on those?
Now they're owned by Japan.
Well, Anheuser makes Budweiser the most popular beer in the U.S., and many people, including politicians and musicians, are very upset about this. And you, Tim Conway.
Yeah, I love the fact that the Europeans come over here and the Dubaians come over here and they buy the good stuff.
Yeah.
And they leave us with all the crap.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, in our first bit of audio, we have Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama weighing in, saying it would be a shame if the iconic American brewer was acquired by a foreign company.
All right, here we go.
But many Americans don't want Budweiser jobs to leave the U.S. American beer drinkers and politicians will be watching very carefully to see how InBev structures the new company.
I don't think that we can pass a law to prevent Budweiser's shareholders, Anheuser-Busch's shareholders, from selling their company. That's part of the free market system.
But if they could, they would. Hmm. And obviously, you know, I mean, who's he talking to? Third graders? And you can't prevent them from selling it. It's just sad to see Budweiser now owned by the Europeans.
Well, and if I actually might retract one thing, you said earlier that nothing would change, but apparently the pronunciation will change from Budweiser to Budweiser. If you want to play that first part again, you might have missed it.
But many Americans don't want Budweiser jobs.
Budweiser.
Yeah. I wonder why we don't want to relinquish control to the...
ice cold Budweiser!
Yeah, to the Europeans.
But many Americans don't want Budweiser jobs to leave. Don't want Budweiser jobs to leave. Want Budweiser jobs. Want Budweiser jobs to leave
Budweiser.
The U.S.
Hey, I'll have some beanuts and peanuts there, and a hard pretzel and a Budweiser. A Bud Light. A Budweiser Light.
A Bud Light.
Jesus Christ.
Well, we have another bit of audio. This is from country singer Phil McClarty, and he has a protest song about the InBev takeover we have a clip of.
All right, here we go.
We've got mama's apple pie and baseball too.
Hey, see, I'm on two for two there.
Jesus Christ.
Is this Adam Sandler?
No, this is Phil McClarty.
Sounds like Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Let's not forget we were the first up on that moon. Great accomplishments aside, want things perfectly clean.
Today, Junior?
America, she's not for sale. And neither is her beard. Oh, lady, you're Americana, as Americana can get. Don't say your slides to the American dream, cause history won't forget. All you hard-working Americans, stand up and show some class.
Yeah.
And have a drink with Mother Freedom and tell Liv Ev to kiss your ass.
Jesus Christ.
Drank a bunch of cold Budweisers, watched Dale Sr. rule the track, toasted a frosted mug of Bud Light to every soldier in Iraq. I got silly, drunk, and crazy, praise the Lord, I never wrecked. I had a designated driver the day I married my best friend, Bud Slade. Oh, Augie, I never knew you, no, any of y'all kin. But if you sell that stock, this world will rock. We just might switch to gin.
Yeah.
All you hard-working Americans, stand up, show some class, and have a drink with Mother Freedom. And tell InBev to kiss your glass. Kiss your glass. Have a drink with Mother Freedom. And tell InBev to kiss your glass.
All right, there you go.
Tell InBev to kiss your glass.
All right. I don't know. You know, it's going to take him a long time and selling a lot of effing beer to make back $51
billion.
$52 billion. Yeah. That's a lot, man.
A lot of money.
Yeah, especially when a 12-pack is like $8.
And if you have one of those club cards, it's like $6.99.
Beer is so great. It's practically free.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so cheap.
They pay you to drink it.
It is so effing cheap. You know, I remember when 12-packs of like Heineken... They're like $22 or so.
What?
Yeah, $20 back in. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, serious. Now they're like $12.95.
Yeah. And did you hear, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've been told this before, the reason why we have quote-unquote blonde beer now, why Budweiser and Miller Genuine Draft, why we don't have thick, dark beers.
Why?
In America, because when all of the soldiers went off to fight in World War II and the women were working the beer factories, they didn't like dark beers. They liked blonde beers, and that's just the way it stayed.
Okay.
I don't know if it's true.
All right. So I knew the chicks had a hand in that somehow.
Anywho.
All right. All right. So Budweiser's gone.
Yeah.
All right. What else is happening in the news then?
Budweiser. Well, the scandal involving the alleged relationship between pop star Madonna and Yankees superstar A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, is heating to a boil now as former Oakland A's player Jose Canseco weighed in about it on television recently. Canseco gave a brief interview to the news magazine show Extra about A-Rod's divorce and what this might have to do with Madonna. We have some audio of this.
Jose Canseco on A-Rod.
I knew that marriage wasn't going to last at all. A guy like Alex Rodriguez, good looking, money... playing with the Yankees, it's over. Well, it looks like Alex may have looked to her as a mentor, and now there's something else going on. I don't think it's a ploy or PR scam with her. I think she's genuinely probably interested in Alex. A-Rod's been drifting for as long as I've known him. I feel bad for Cynthia because I actually know her. They have two kids together, but she was in a lose-lose situation. I knew that because when we were in Chicago, when I played for the Chicago White Sox, I was setting up Alex with girls. They were actually strippers. He basically fell into the same trap that I fell in, but he didn't learn from me.
All right. Didn't learn from the king, man.
So I gather they're not friends. Because that's a lot to put somebody else's stuff out there.
Yeah. No, they're not friends. I heard a story that A-Rod and Canseco, I think they both played for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And when A-Rod, who is younger than Canseco, they would start working out together. And Canseco was married to a beautiful, like, playmate or something. He always gets hot chicks. But A-Rod said, hey, that's the hottest chick I've ever seen. I think he sort of either made a play for or wanted Canseco's wife.
Right.
And I think that's where the blood started boiling.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but Jose Canseco got his ass kicked.
No.
Yeah. He got knocked the F out.
What happened?
In a fight in Atlantic City. I think it was in Atlantic City or in Philadelphia. He was fighting some, it was a celebrity like boxing match, and he was fighting some guy that used to play in the NFL. I think he played for the Eagles. And in the first round, he comes out. Jose takes like one pop at this guy, and the guy knocks his ass down. Jose Canseco gets up again, and this guy knocks his ass out.
Oh, my God.
The fight was over like in 30 seconds. If you want to see Jose Canseco get his ass kicked, go to YouTube and put in Canseco boxing match or Canseco boxing. And it's C-A-N. It's not C-O-N. Canseco. C-A-N. I think it's S-E-C-O. Canseco. And he got his ass handed to him.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, you got to see. Go to YouTube and put in Canseco boxing. And you can see him get floored. I think the guy he was fighting was only like 5'9".
Really? But was he a big stocky football guy or like a kicker?
I think he was an ex-boxer. I think the guy was
stupid of Canseco.
Yeah, I mean, who the F would do that? You know, but that's the the attitude, the mentality. I can do anything I want. And he got floored, man.
Wow.
He got his ass knocked out.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Canseco and Bonaducci?
Bonaducci would probably beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because Bonaducci has some boxing skills.
Yeah.
Carolla would knock him out. Carolla would knock
Canseco out?
Bonaducci out, too. But Bonaducci will admit that.
Right.
You know, that he'd knock his ass out. All right, please. Oh. All right, anything else going on in the news there, Gina Graham?
Yes, well, finally, with the presidential election just around the corner, it seems that issues like immigration are being brought to the forefront. And here we have some audio of Senator Barack Obama speaking out for immigrants' rights at a recent rally.
All right, here we go. Barack Obama.
The system isn't working. When 12 million people living in hiding and hundreds of thousands are crossing our borders illegally each year. When companies hire undocumented immigrants instead of legal citizens because they want to avoid paying overtime or avoid unionization or exploiting those workers. When communities are terrorized by ICE immigration raids. When nursing mothers are torn from their babies. When children come home from school to find their parents missing. When people are detained without access to legal counsel. When all that's happening, the system just
these old Soviet national anthem. I can't believe they drowned Barack out like that. That
yeah,
is very rude.
But, you know, he fought it till the bitter end.
Yes,
you know,
he did.
When kids come home and then the music started.
He went on. He went nuts. Yeah. All right, anything going on in the news there? Anything else there, Gina Grad?
That's what's happening.
All right, the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
That wasn't so bad after all.
Give us 8.5 minutes. And we'll fill it with words.
Okay, real quick, before you leave, I got to ask you a question in Randy.
Okay.
And this is good for $5, whoever gets closest. All right?
Okay.
How many in the Conway household out there in the San Fernando Valley, hot and humid, how many television sets do I have that are up and operating and working and you can see television on them?
Two.
Randy Wang, how many?
Two.
This might not be fair. He hangs out at your house.
All right.
Like
Gina Graham?
Okay. I'm going to go with three.
Three. Since you're both over, neither one of you get $5.
Oh. One?
One.
What happened?
TV.
Why?
I don't watch TV anymore.
Wait, did something happen to the other TV?
No, the other TV was in the bedroom, and I took it out of the bedroom because I now use it as my computer monitor.
Oh.
It's a big, nice
Look
Dell.
Look at you, Steve Jobs.
Oh, yeah. It's a big, nice. If I spend, I'm spending 7 hours on, a day researching like crazy to do this show, so I might as well enjoy myself and have a big screen. But I have just one television set. And for the first time in the history of the United States, there are more computers in homes than working television sets.
Really?
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Isn't that wild?
You know what? I have two computers and one television.
Yeah. Now, Randy, what do you have at home?
I used to have two computers, but then I sold one. So I've got my laptop, but I use that as my computer monitor. My TV, I use my computer monitor when I plug my laptop in at home.
Yeah, he has like a big flat screen, and he uses that as his computer monitor.
Wait a minute. So how many working televisions do you have at home?
One.
One. And one computer.
And one laptop.
Good for you. All right, Gina, thank you very much. Gina and Randy both lose out on $5. I'm very happy to say I will put it back in the pot, and the next question will be worth $10 at one point. All right, folks, for the first time in American history, there are more computers in most homes than television sets. And I can tell you how many computers we have. And I'm talking about, you know, computers like I have an iTouch that was that Arsenio was so nice to give me, him and his son. I have the iTouch that can get the internet. I have my computer. My wife has her laptop. And then I have an extra computer that sort of works but doesn't work, and I keep that as a backup. Then I have a laptop. And then I have another computer, again, that is sort of a backup. It does work, but it's slow. So I have six computers, and three of them I should probably just throw away. Six computers. Seven, because Jennifer's cell phone can get the internet as well. So seven computers that can get the internet and just one television set. It is amazing, but that is absolutely what's going on. There are more TVs, I mean more computers than television sets. And I think that most people, at least the younger generation, or especially the younger generation, spends more time on the computer than they do watching TV. Is this you? 520-9710. You guys have more computers in the house than TVs? And have you stopped watching television? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, I was a big fan of the news. I watch CNN. I watch Fox. I don't much watch MSNBC. I get that whole side from CNN. And I don't watch NBC or CNBC or MSNBC because the only real reason to watch NBC News died about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago in Tim Russert. And so I've taken Meet the Press and NBC off of my TV watching, and my stomach feels better for some reason. NBC has a great network. Some of my favorite sitcoms are on NBC. And My Name is Earl is one of the all-time great sitcoms, in my opinion. However, the news department stinks. And so I now no longer watch NBC News or MSNBC, CNBC, any of that crap. And again, Tim Russert was the best. I used to watch Meet the Press all the time, but it's over. So again, for the first time in modern-day history, there are more TV sets – I'm sorry, more computers – than TV sets in people's homes. And I find that astonishing. I find it very unusual. But that is what the research bears. Have you said F it to television? And if so, why? Are you spending more time on the internet than watching that TV? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Don't forget, at 10 o'clock, Stump the Monkey with Malibu Dan and Sam Simon. And we're live on 97.1 Free FM.
We'll do it live!
Oh, Bubba. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And nobody to talk more about TV and computers, and nobody has the knowledge or the background than my very good friend Sam Simon. Nice to see
you,
man.
Hey, Tim. How you doing, Babu?
Yeah,
look,
Sam
at you.
Rolled in a little early for Stump the Monkey, so we thought we'd bring him in and talk a little bit about television.
Television's amazing these days.
Yeah, television's great. But Sam Simon produced Cheers, The Norm Show, Taxi.
Don't forget the new Norm MacDonald show
Simpsons.
On FX.
Yeah.
The Simpsons is usually the credit people
yeah,
get.
The one that everyone goes with?
Yeah.
The big one.
That's the big one.
The one that puts you in the hills.
The one that is the longest running, most successful television show of all
right.
time.
And when you wake up every morning and you look at the ocean, you thank the Simpsons.
I just thank that little Bart for everything.
Bart's giving you the ocean.
Yeah.
All right. But I read something on the internet where there are now more computers in people's homes.
Oh, really?
Than there are television sets.
Oh, wow.
So if you think about it, almost every cell phone can now get the internet.
Yeah.
And then people have their laptops.
Yeah.
People have their desktops. The kids have computers. The
right.
kids have cell phones.
Yeah.
And now there are more ways to get on the internet than there are to watch TV. You can drag your cell phone over. I mean, you can drag either your cell phone or your laptop over to any place that has Wi-Fi, and you can watch the internet right there. And so,
I think it's over. I think TV,
you think it's over for TV?
Yeah, I think. Well, do you know? Just I saw an ad on, I think it was ABC, where, and I forget, but they have the stars of the ABC shows. I think because I can't really recognize them. I don't know who they would pick besides the stars of their
right
shows. But they're carrying like the logos for an iPod, a computer, a TV and a cell phone, and there's and they're saying you can get it all here at abc.com. So they're
right.
They're taking their primetime advertising and stuff that they would normally be saying, "Hey, watch the, you know,
right,
you know
that."
And they're saying we are they're identifying their network as a source of content for cell phones.
Wow. I mean, that is a huge move.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And CBS is doing the same thing. CBS has joined up with AOL to create the biggest international network on the internet when it comes to radio. And so at least the radio division at CBS, you know, they get it. And they, you know, you can now listen to, for instance, I believe you can listen to the station almost anywhere in the world. On streaming, is that right?
Yeah, there's a new application that for iPhones and iPod Touches that AOL Radio came out with, where you can now listen to our online stream anywhere you are because if you have it on your iPhone.
Wow, look at that! And so, you know, I don't know if TV's going to play catch up, and but then again, TV will always be around because you need the content. You know, without ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC. There really is no content.
I think there's some stuff that TV, the same way movies now are specialized in to a certain degree,
right,
as a $200 million, these blockbusters, these summer movies, there's always going to be kids and people that want to get out and are going to pay a lot of money just to see those.
Right.
And where, you know, and they don't really make dramas anymore. You know, that's something that sort of older people will stay home. It costs $1 million, $2 million an hour. And that's what you see, like dramatic TV is sort of that, you
right
know, and those kind of movies aren't made anymore.
Do you think it's over for the sitcom?
I do. I think the sitcom, I know all my friends hate when I say this, but I started saying it 5 years ago, and there hasn't been a new hit sitcom. You know, the old, you know, Cheers, these shows that I watch and I think they're great still, I think they're archaic. I think they're like silent movies. No, they're just kind of artificial. You've seen how real people behave now.
Yeah, the reality shows, right.
These blocks of, you know, they used to be built in these 2-hour blocks of primetime TV that were geared for a general audience. They can't be dirty. They can't be this. It's just the market. You know, someone will make half-hour stories, and they might be on some, you know, cable network, and they'll be very popular. Like Larry David is the, you know, they will be that. But as far as like a Cosby Show, a show that's going to get that everybody watches, that's shot in front of an audience, I don't think you will ever see that again.
All right. What is the future of television, folks? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. For the first time in American history, there are more ways to access the internet at home than there are to watch TV. And more ways to watch the internet than there are to watch TV. Ricky in Compton, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, Timmy. How's it going?
Hey, all right, man.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you on the topic. I mean, I sold my plasma TV to actually get a 32-inch monitor for myself. I got two computers. I got my desktop and I got my laptop. The laptop, I keep that in my bedroom, and the desktop is basically in my rec room.
Well, and you know what? And by the way, I have a decent-sized Dell. I think mine is a 28-inch computer screen at home with speakers built and everything. It's beautiful. And I spent a couple of bucks on it because that's what I do all day. I'm on the internet. But once you get that screen in front of you, there's no going back.
No, there totally isn't. I mean, the thing about it is that I do see TV as being old media now, and I do see it dying off, but not anytime soon, but it is dying off. The thing about TV is that even though you got on-demand and satellite TV and all this type of stuff, I mean, it's not on-demand content. You're waiting for commercials, you're waiting for this, you're waiting for that. On the internet and on computers, you get what you're looking for. You don't have to sit through commercials. You get the stuff that you want.
Right. But the only annoying part of, at least when you record something on TV, you can fast forward through the commercials. Now with the internet, they've made it. They've put in some, I don't know, I guess some script.
It's called streaming.
Yeah, that doesn't, well, I'm not talking about that, but doesn't allow you to fast forward through the 30-second spot that they put on before you watch your video.
Yeah, but that's a 30-second spot. I'd rather sit and wait through a 30-second spot than rather than sit through a minute and a half in between an episode.
Yeah. I don't know. I know what the answer is. All right, buddy. We thank you for calling. But I think you're right. I think Sam Simon again is with us. He produced The Simpsons. I would love to see a sitcom, you know, like Seinfeld or like Cosby or All in the Family come back, because it was one of those things that like connected everybody in the office. You know, like Friday morning, everyone's talking about Seinfeld or Friends.
I agree with you completely. I think it's really like one of the things, like, first of all, everyone should watch and do, and they should do their entertainment what they want.
Right.
But I do think there are fewer and fewer things that you can talk about the next day with people. You know,
Grand Theft Auto
just had the biggest opening weekend of any entertainment enterprise ever made. It made $350 million.
The game.
Yes.
Right.
I have never played Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
I wouldn't know how to play.
I played Grand Theft Auto 1.
But do you know what I mean? And so
I got enough of it after about 20 minutes.
This is something that for a certain segment of the population is one of the most awaited, biggest events in the history of entertainment. And yet there's most people don't know anything about it and will never have any exposure to it whatsoever. Whereas,
right,
you know.
Well, I mean, here's that's a perfect example, because Jerry Wachowski used to work with us here on this program. He used to sleep.
The guy from Poker Stars.
Yeah, but he used to go to the video store at midnight and wait for them, or a little before midnight, wait for them to open at midnight to buy these new video games.
Right.
You know, that's something was only reserved for Star Trek movies or Star Wars or concerts. You know, people would stay outside and wait for a concert, but now it's a video game.
Also, I don't know, but like sometimes you'll talk with your friends and you'll say, oh, you like this show. And, you know, like I'll say, I love The Shield. And they'll say, oh, and I love The Sopranos.
Right.
And then they'll name a show. You know, we agree that those are our two favorite shows. And they'll name a show that they consider just as good as the two of those, and I've never heard of it.
Right.
And I don't know where it is, and I may not even know the network it's on.
Yeah, I mean, this is so weird that you said it, because I was talking to a friend today. I said, have you ever watched Ed Begley's show on the Green Channel? And I think Randy said this, too. He says, what's the Green Channel?
Right.
But there's a whole channel dedicated to, you know, the environment.
I do watch that.
And Ed Begley was on, and he has a great show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost like...
You know, he lives
like,
next to Bill Nye.
Oh, the science guy, right.
He's the science guy.
Yeah, because science guy's always on. Yeah, he's on occasionally.
Like,
I was trying to figure out where I think it's
nerdy,
North Hollywood that they live.
I know where he lives.
Is it North Hollywood, Studio City area?
Yeah, kind of right there.
That's what it looks like. It looks like the Valley. But you know what? When I watch Ed Begley's show, let's see if we can get him on as a guest one day. I'd love to have him come in and talk to him about the environment.
You have very different opinions.
Well,
on
I mean, you know
warming.
What? I have a different opinion of global warming, of who's causing it. I think it's happening, but I have a different opinion of who's causing it.
Right.
But I think that somebody who lives his life like Ed Begley, who preaches going green, but he lives green,
right,
is better than like an Al Gore type who preaches going green and then is on a private jet and spends $10,000 a month on electricity on his home.
Right.
You know? And I think if that guy was out in the forefront of the environment, I think a lot more people like me would be encouraged and enthusiastic about recycling.
Well, no. I mean, Al Gore, look, this guy could have been president instead of George Bush.
Oh, yeah. And he should have been.
He should have been. And he warned us about global warming, like, I don't know, like 5 years ago or something.
Before he went, before he was with global cooling. Though.
I know, but this is how, like, if it weren't for how boring If it weren't for his personality,
right,
the world would be in a lot better shape.
Well,
it's just this boring guy.
Right. And also, if he didn't politicize it so much,
I mean,
he would have been the best. Like, if Ed Begley Jr. was Al Gore, and Ed Begley Jr. did the movie, what was it, Gore's movie? Inconvenient Truth. Yeah. Let's say Ed Begley Jr. did that instead of Al Gore. It would have sold 10 times the copies, I think.
Yeah, it would have sold as many as Waiting for Guffman.
And I also blame Al Gore for breaking up Larry David and his lovely wife.
Because
she got into that whole global warming thing. And she was friends with Al Gore, and Al Gore was probably over with the charts all the time at the house. And this guy just wants to do a comedy. You know, he just want Al Gore in his living with the charts.
So, when you say to blame,
I think he contributed
maybe,
to it.
Well, Larry David.
I think Larry David would still
that.
Be married today if it wasn't for Al Gore. No. That's all I'm saying.
All right, could be.
Like if I were to go home every night. And my wife had Al Gore at my house with the charts, I would leave her for that. I couldn't go home to that every night.
I would say if your wife has those charts, there are other problems in the marriage. Like if you go home every
night. I don't
want
the charts. I don't know. Who needs Al Gore in the living room with the charts?
He lives across the street from me.
Who does, Al Gore?
Larry David.
Oh, he does. I didn't know that. Oh, mm-hmm. Now I know where he lives.
And you know the story. I don't know.
Larry David is one of the few guys whose his politics transcends. I mean, his talent transcends his politics.
You know, they're best friends.
Who?
Got divorced.
Who?
Larry David.
Larry David's best friend.
Yes.
Okay.
I think this is true. I read it on one of those gossip websites.
Okay. Has nothing to do with the fact you live across the street.
So they let the guy that was getting divorced live in their guest house.
Is that right?
And that's who his wife left him for.
Really? I didn't know that.
True.
Wow! Look at that.
And then people are saying like, "Oh, you should put that in the show." It's like, yeah, I'm sure the guy wants.
You know, this is something
he's got like a.
This is something
that works in the show. It's like,
this should be in the next Larry David show. This happened to me up in Longview, Washington. I was up in Washington, Oregon, visiting my wife's family. And I was driving an SUV, and the sun was setting, and the sun was coming in the car. And my daughter, who sits behind me in the middle, there's no visor in the middle, so the sun's in her eyes, right? So I put my hand up to try to figure out where the light is, you know, to shield her eyes. And I finally find it, and it's right there. And I'm doing like a...
You're doing like a Hitler salute.
Like a Hitler salute,
oh,
right?
Okay. I was describing what you were doing.
I'm holding out my hand. I'm doing like a Hitler salute. A guy in a red truck pulls up next to me and goes, hey, I'm with you, buddy.
Okay, there you go.
Jesus Christ.
And like, wait a minute. I said, no, I'm not doing a Hitler salute. My daughter's eye. Yeah, and the guy speeds off in his
truck.
Yeah,
they say Hitler's the greatest orator of the 20th century. You go, what did he do? Oh, he got people to hate Jews. Like the easiest thing... you could possibly do. They already hate him.
What is the future here of television, everybody? Let's talk to Mark and Covina. You're on 97.1.
There's two things that are going to happen with TV. First, the difference between the internet and television is going to be conflated. They're going to be the same thing.
Right.
The second thing that will happen is that TV will wind up being really local, like AM radio used to be, because people are united by geography first, politics and aesthetics second.
I think you're right. And a perfect example of that is up in Oregon and Washington, they have the Northwest, it's called Northwest News Station. And it's just a news station of the Northwest. You know, so you turn it on, it's like CNN or Fox, but it's only Washington and Oregon and like Idaho.
And that does better than CNN?
Well, I watch it all the time.
Do you?
But I think he's right. But the problem with doing just local TV is that nobody has big budgets for that. You know, because how many people are going to be watching?
Right. I mean, that's why I think that, first of all, this stuff will be on demand. You know, so the model for network TV now,
right,
that you have to do 3 hours of primetime programming a night, and it has to cost, you know, a minimum of $1.5 million to $2 million an hour. You know, that's not going to be like that anymore. ABC, maybe they'll do 3 hours a week. But it'll be 3 great-hour drama. You know, it's going to change a lot.
But I think there's going to be a breakthrough.
And I agree, it will probably combine in a lot of ways, but
I still think there's going to be a breakthrough. I think there's going to be one television show that really takes off. And I'm not just talking about Dancing with the Stars, but something. I think the next, like, American Idol is out there. that's really going to take American by storm. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, at this point, when there's an American Idol final or something like that, you still get those numbers. You know, it. People can, they say there's 500 channels and all this, but people will still, they still watch the Super Bowl, you know,
right.
Even though there's video games and movies and computers. So there is, you know, that can happen, but sometimes you watch TV and in a lot of ways it's its own worst enemy because you can, there was one night last week where I didn't have anything to do and there were 3 hours in a row of shows on all four networks that would never have been on TV at all. There would never have been
right.
Celebrity Family Feud, at least the way it was
By the
done,
way, that's the worst show on television. Celebrity Family Feud?
It's insane.
I
First
can't
of all, they
imagine
go, here's
why
the people
that's
from The Office. Now, I don't watch The Office that often.
Right.
But
that's not the
there
star.
There were five people that I've never seen ever.
And they were playing against...
they were playing against My Name Is...
My Name Is Earl.
But My Name Is Earl, they have the guy who's a big TV star. But
he lost.
But they're in character.
I know.
They're not being the... They're
right.
not really playing the game.
Right. And then when they said something about, you know, what squeaks, like when you sit on a bed or something, he goes, my mustache.
Like, oh, yeah, that was a weird
obviously, it's not it. These guys just effing around, and I stopped it right there. I said, I'm done.
And they're playing, they're yeah. screwing they're over playing, a charity.
Yeah, they're playing. And the B crew from everyone, from My Name Is Earl, beat the A crew. So now we got to watch the B actors play against the
oh,
B actors
right.
of The
that's
Office.
Right. It was the guy. It was the yeah, yeah.
Oh, whose
what's
decision
that guy's
was
name?
That?
The guy from.
Tim Stack.
Tim Stack, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was pretending that he was drunk.
Right.
Like he was doing a.
Yeah, it was the character.
That he couldn't. Like when they really needed an answer, he would.
Who's
rather be drunk and do a joke.
Jesus Christ.
That's the worst.
It was
Somebody
amazing.
Should be shot over that show.
And, but then, the I don't quote me on this, but I think on the other, opposite it, was a show called Wipeout.
Oh, I look at that.
And that was on at the same time, and then...
I look at Wipeout, but I did for 5 minutes, and like, wait a minute, nobody's going to get through this obstacle course,
well,
and who
cares? Well,
it's
the same thing every, you know...
Every week.
If you see the... promo for it.
Right. The big red balls. The guy bounces
the
3 times. He hits the water.
That's right. That's
it's like,
it.
Who cares? My wife is hysterical over it, though. She's laughing
yeah.
and she's crying while she's watching
right.
this. All right. Sam Simon is with us discussing the future of television. And nobody would know more than Sammy, executive producer of The Simpsons, also Cheers, Taxi, a big long resume, very
Drew
successful
Carey
shows.
Show?
Drew Carey Show,
new
The Norm
McDonald Show.
All right. 520-9710, the future of television. 888-520-9710. Don't forget, in about 20 minutes, it's Stump the Monkey. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, they told me, but I'm still tuning every show. My cable gets C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO. The Travel Channel, Discovery, and Lifetime. You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, cajoled me, turn off those music videos. I'm gonna watch C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO, the History Channel, and QVC, and Lifetime.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Sam Simon is with us, and we're about 10 minutes away from a little Stump the Monkey session.
Wow.
But I was just talking to Sam during the break here, and he told me something interesting I didn't know, that there's a battle going on for Brad and Angelina's, the first photos of their twins.
Yeah, I think the bidding is, it's either $12 million or $16
million. $1 million.
$1 million.
And they're twins.
They're twins. And I think it's OK Magazine and People Magazine.
And they're biological. I mean, they're Brad's and Angelina's kids.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. But there will be a stipulation, according to what I read online, that part of the winning bid is that they can no longer... People Magazine, should they win the pay them $60 million for pictures of their stupid kids, they can no longer use the term Brangelina. So that's a deal breaker.
Can like you
I
imagine?
Used to, well, I used to, like when you sit down and you make a contract, like with my agent, I used to say, and I want, you know, they give you like millions and millions of dollars. And I would say, and I want them to decorate my office. And my agent would say, decorate your own damn office. You know what I mean? You go, like, we got a big deal here. Don't
right.
put this crap in there.
Right.
But I guess they
Brangelina.
Don't have that. Brangelina.
So that evidently
that kind of,
really affects them.
I don't know why. I don't see what's. I would
Who
like
cares?
A nickname like that with my
I like
girlfriend.
A hot nickname, too.
Yeah, what's your wife's name again?
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Jennifer.
J-Con.
Timothy.
J-Con.
T-Con.
I don't give a rat's ass what it is. But listen, can you imagine? No. Can you imagine this? Listen to me, Sam Simon, please.
That's you.
I know. Sammy, please. I mean, you go off on these tangents that don't mean anything. All right. But can you imagine if somebody hooked you up with Angelina Jolie, right? And you are now dating Angelina Jolie. Can you imagine how difficult your life becomes overnight? Can you imagine putting up with that?
It must be a nightmare.
I mean, you know, you are a guy that she could date. I mean, you're a multi-millionaire.
Yes.
Decent-looking guy.
That's right.
And,
great lover.
You know, and you've had some chicks, and you've had opportunities in the past
my
to be
now has
hooked up with chicks.
One five-year-old daughter.
And it's a pain in the ass.
It can be a little. I'm not
it's
saying
difficult.
She's a good, you know, I'm not doing that. Can you imagine you got like five
he's
adopted,
got they got six now.
Six adopted?
No, they have six kids. They have four adopted kids and then two of their own kids.
That's which is worse. Like
oh, yeah.
Two babies has to be worse than
and now they're
going to
fight. Now the adopted kids are going to fight the real kids and vice versa. It's going to be a living hell. Brad Pitt.
They have a nanny though, don't they?
Well, they've got to have somebody. But Brad Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston and living in Malibu and able to do whatever the F he wants.
Right.
Now he's got six kids living with a nut job and is probably waking up every morning thinking, what the F did I do? What did I do? How did I get here?
And it's also public, and then it's like
now is she bisexual at all? Is a word out on that, or is she not, if she is, or she's not?
I think she said that. I'm not sure.
I don't know, but I mean, and you know, once you throw that in the mix, it becomes real difficult.
Didn't she just have a vial of
blood on her neck? Yeah, and she's got all tattoos, and she's a mess. All right, we're gonna come back with Stump the Monkey, everybody. So if you have a question for Malibu Dan. He is the monkey, and he's with us. Sam Simon's going to give him $100 for every single question he gets right and take $100 from the poor man for every question he gets wrong. All right, it's Stump the Monkey. Malibu Dan, the nicest man in the world, not the brightest man in the world. That's
hey,
why
buddies.
We do this. 520-9710. Get your monkey stumping questions in early. It's always a great hour. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.